Today, we are still getting poorer. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World, and this post covering finance and property news. The ABS released their wage price index to June 2026 today and confirmed what my surveys have already highlighted. In real terms, after inflation, on average, households are going backwards. But if you are working in the government-funded sector, you're doing better. And if you happen to live in South Australia, then you're doing better than people elsewhere. The result was pretty much in line with analysts' expectations, actually 0.1% below what the Reserve Bank had forecast in its latest statement of monetary policy. The ABS said that there was a 0.8% rise in the June quarter 2026 and 3.2% annually, seasonally adjusted. That's down from 3.4% at the same time last year. That means that we are well below the late 2023 peak of 4.3%, and actually the increase was the slowest annual pace since June 2022, after rising interest rates weighed on the jobs market. And to remind you, the June CPI data reported a 3.8% rise, that's down from 4% in the 12 months to May, with the largest contributors to annual inflation, housing up 6.8%, food and non-alcoholic beverages up 3.3%, and recreation and culture up 3.3%, and trimmed mean inflation was 3.6%, which was unchanged in the 12 months to May. So the WPI is growing more slowly than the CPI again. And this chart to two decimal places shows that nominal wages are up 3.19%, but real wages fell again on average, down 0.73%. Back into negative territory again. The annual wage growth in the public sector outpaced growth in the private sector for the sixth quarter in a row, with rises paid to state government public service jobs the main driver of public sector growth, supported by scheduled rises paid under the existing APS-wide enterprise agreement for Commonwealth employees. So public sector wages rose 3.4%, down from 3.7% a year earlier, and the public sector contribution to the overall wage growth in the June quarter was higher than this time last year, plus 32% compared to 26% previously. So no surprise then to see state and federal spending rising fast on the back of poor old taxpayers, despite those who work in the private sector who saw their wages rise just 3.1% in annual terms, and by the way, easing from 3.4% at the same time last year. The main contributors to wages growth reflect both the size of the industry, overall numbers of employees, and total wage expenditure, and the size of any wage changes that occurred. And the main industry contributors to wage growth over the June 26th quarter were jobs in public sector administration and safety up 15%, healthcare and social assistance 15%, and state and territory wage estimates in original terms show that South Australia recorded the highest quarterly rise at 1.1% and the highest annual growth at 3.6%, and New South Wales recorded the lowest quarterly rise at 0.4%, while the Northern Territory recorded the lowest annual rise at 2.8%. Now, all of these numbers were actually pretty much in line with expectations, and it indicates that the three RBA interest rate rises are easing conditions in the labour market, at least to some extent. But we should bear in mind that 3.2%, according to the RBA's own projections last year, was the highest annual level of wages growth that the economy can sustain without driving up inflation. And today's data did not account for the impact of the Fair Work Commission's 4.75% and 6% increases in award and minimum wages, respectively, which took effect from July. Judo Bank Chief Economist Advisor Warren Hogan noted that we're now coming to the end of the well-behaved wages world that we've lived in, adding that once the Commission's decision was fully reflected in the data, it would be very hard to see how future wages growth statistics would come in at anything less than 4%. And there are some other sources of upward pressure on wages ahead, because Just 10% of private sector jobs recorded a wages increase in the June quarter, so there could be a backlog of increases building up due to businesses holding off because of the uncertainty in the Middle East. But we got a lot of political spin from Employment Minister Amanda Risworth, who acknowledged inflation had eaten into wages gains. We are not saying job done here, but what we are saying is that we are looking at ways that we can support people by driving up higher wages, and we are seeing some of those results in the nominal wages growth, she told reporters in Canberra after the data is released. Yes, nominal, not real. We've also recognised that inflation is still too high. And we also got comments from Reserve Bank of Australia Deputy Governor Andrew Hawser, who was speaking on Wednesday of the Queensland Futures Institute's annual Regions Summit. And he warned the central bank will not hesitate to raise interest rates if key inflation risks materialise, as he acknowledged that rising costs were eating into wages gains and pointed to the ongoing war in Iran, mammoth investment in artificial intelligence infrastructure, and stagnant productivity growth in Australia as all key risks for higher inflation. If those upside risks to inflation crystallise and we don't see inflation coming down, we will have to raise interest rates again, Hawser said. And he said consumer spending and employment growth would need to slow further for inflation pressures to fully recede. We've seen a little bit of that slowdown so far, he said. We're going to need to see more to get inflation back. We're not seeing in our forecasts a reduction in the number of jobs in the economy, but it's a lot slower than Australia has known in the past, and it's a lot slower than recently. Now, of course, this is much in line with Governor Michelle Bullock's warning last week that the risks of higher than expected price increases across the economy outweighed the danger of data coming in surprisingly soft, which kept another rate rise on the table. We think the risks are skewed to the upside on inflation, she told reporters in Sydney last week, after the Monetary Policy Board kept the rate at 4.35%. And she added that the labour market was still a little bit tight, despite the increasingly restrictive financial conditions and ongoing economic slowdown. Most labour market indicators, including the underemployment rate, average hours worked per capita, and the hours-based underutilisation rate, all pointed to residual tightness in the labour market. And the unemployment rate was 4.4% in June, but the central bank expected it to drift up towards 4.8% by the end of June 2028, which is well above the government's forecast of 4.5%, which was included in the budget back in May. So all of this highlights persistent price pressures in the economy at a time when the Reserve Bank is continuing to warn that it's willing to tighten further to restrain inflation. And in updated forecasts, the RBA predicted unemployment would climb to 4.5% by the end of the year and then rise further to 4.7% later in 2027. And the labour market data is due out on Thursday, and it's expected to show unemployment in July was still sitting at around 4.4%. So the RBA sees wages growth running slightly stronger in the near term compared with its forecast 3 months earlier. And other data from SEEK show that the July advertised salaries index reported the strongest annual growth at 4.4% since February 2024. So potentially, yes, there is more trouble ahead. There is nothing here, in my view, to remove the risks of more rate rises in the months ahead and the consequences for households and the broader economy. Yesterday, I went through my latest scenarios and home price modelling during my live show. The bottom line is the economic settings are signalling more pressure on households ahead, and high government spending supporting public sector wages growth is certainly not helping to tame inflation. Of course, the big question is it right to strangle households to try and kill inflation that is being stoked by AI investment and some of those international factors, plus massive government spending? Surely the answer is for the government to get spending under control. But no, that's not on their agenda. So the RBA has to do the heavy lifting. Interest rate rises will follow. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.